Today's shir is Daf Samach Aleph. We will begin with the last words on Daf Samach Amud Beis. We learned in the Mishnah, for loy biyachid bizman she'ein baragli maka, that a person is not allowed to walk out on Shabbos only wearing one shoe, unless he has a wound on a foot. Then he's permitted to wear one shoe. So the Gemara infers, Hayesh Baragli Maka, as we just said, that if there is a wound on his foot, Nafik, he can walk out wearing a single shoe. Ask the Gemara, Bahaimanai Nafik, on which of his feet could he wear the single shoe and go out? Amrafuna. So Rafuna says, Ba'isa Shesh Bamaka, he could wear the single shoe on the foot that has the wound. Alma, we see from what Rafuna says, Kesavah der Huna holds sandal l'shum tsar of it. The purpose of a shoe is to protect a foot from pain. So therefore, a single shoe could be worn to protect the wounded foot. And Rashi explains as follows. We explained yesterday that what's the reason you're not allowed to walk out wearing only one shoe. So Rashi said, either because people will ridicule him for wearing only one shoe, or people will accuse him that he's wearing one shoe and he's carrying the other one. But here, that the person has a wound, and everybody sees that he's limping, that he's hurt on the feet, will assume that he's only wearing the shoe on the foot that has the wound, because that is really the purpose of shoes, to protect the feet that are wounded. And they won't accuse him that he's carrying the other shoe, nor will they ridicule him. Chiba Rav, however, says, "Ba'oisa she'ein b'maka, he can wear the shoe on the foot that does not have the wound on it. Why? Because Alma, Chiba Rav, we see holds kasava l'shem tanigovid. The purpose of wearing shoes is to provide comfort. V'zu she'esh b'maka, and the foot that has a wound on it is not wearing a sandal, makosa machachsalov, because the wound proves that he's not wearing the shoe because he has a maka." So again, Rashi explains, the person is a person who has a wound. Shoes are worn for comfort, and we're not going to be concerned that he's carrying the other shoe, because we know that he's not carrying the other shoe. He's not wearing it because that foot has a maka, and people will not ridicule him because of his situation. Says the Gemara, V'af Rav Yochanan Sava L'Hadar Rav Huna. Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Huna that the shoe, when one shoe is worn because somebody has a wound, it's worn on the foot that has the wound. Why? Damlai Rav Yochanan Rav Shem Bar Abba. Rav Yochanan said to Rav Shem Bar Abba, Havli Masanoi, give me my shoes. Now as we will see, Rav Yochanan, the next piece of Gemara, holds that a person is supposed to put on his left shoe first. Rav Shimon bar Abba yav lev d'yamin. Rav Shimon bar Abba gave him the right shoe. The Mefarshim point out, interestingly, that the Gemara Masechet Ksuba says that Rav Shimon bar Abba was a kohen. And the question is, we know that there's a chiv, there's an obligation to treat kohanim with great respect. So how was Rav Yochanan able to use Rav Shimon bar Abba as his attendant to give him his shoes? So three answers are given by the Mefarshim. One answer is that if the Kohen is Meichel, if the Kohen forgives that his covered, he may. And Rav Shimon bar Abba agreed to act as Rav Yochanan's attendant. Another answer given by the Mefarshim is that he was a Talmud, and a student can act that way towards his Rebbe. And a third answer given by the Mefarshim is that Rav Shimon bar Abba got paid. And since he got paid, for pay, even a kohen is allowed to do these kind of things. So as we learned, Rav Shimon bar Abba gave him the right shoe first. Amalei, so Rav Yochanan told Rav Shimon bar Abba, Asisa Maka, you have made my foot look like it has a wound. Why? So Rashi explains like this. since now he'll only be able to wear the right shoe, because once he puts on the right shoe first, he can't put on the left shoe, it will appear as if he has a wound on the foot. And somebody who has a wound on his foot goes with a shoe only on that foot. So what Rabbi Yochanan was saying to Rabbi Abba, Hashem Bar Abba, is I'm only going to be wearing my right shoe, because my left shoe I can't put on, because I can't put on my left shoe after I already put on my right shoe, and I'm going to look like my right foot has a wound. So obviously Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav Huna that when there's only one shoe worn on because of a wound, on which foot is a wound? On the foot with the wound. As the Gemara, we have no proof that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Rav Huna. But don't look at Rav Chiya Bar Rav's really. Perhaps Rabbi Yochanan agrees really with Rav Chiya Bar Rav. What he meant to say was a sisa shasmal maka. If I only put on my right shoe, it'll look like my left foot has a wound, because I'm only wearing my right shoe, which is on the foot that has no wound. So we have no proof from this story what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Does he hold like Rav Huna? Does he hold like Chiya Bar Rav? Since the Gemara noted that the issue of which shoe to put on first, so the Gemara discusses that for a moment. And in a way of introduction, the Mefarshim say, in Pirkei Avos, it says, Havazor b'mitzvah kala b'kachamura. We have the obligation to treat every mitzvah, even the mitzvah kala, the seemingly unimportant mitzvah, kibachamura, as we treat the serious mitzvahs. Our Gemara is a proof to that concept. Because other Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Rabbi Yochanan says he's supposed to put the left shoe on first, goes according to his own sheet that he said elsewhere. Dom Rabbi Yochanan says, Kitfilin, just like we treat tefillin, kach menolin, we treat shoes. So this is what we just said. Tefillin, we all know, is a mitzvah chamura, the most serious mitzvah. Kakafta doleiman of tefillin, when we speak about a head that doesn't wear tefillin as being a very serious thing. And at the same time, we compare shoes to tefillin. Mat tefillin b'smol, just a tefillin are worn on the left hand, af menolin b'smol, so too should the left shoe be put on first. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Kshunoyel, when a person puts on his shoes, Noyel Shlimin, first he puts on the right shoe, Vakach Noyel Shul Smol, and then he puts on the left shoe. So this Braisa says, you should put on the right shoe first, not like Rabbi Yochanan. And says Rabbi Yosef, Hashtu Tanya Hochi, now that we learned in a Braisa to put on the right shoe first. Vam Rabbi Yochanan Hochi, and Rabbi Yochanan says to put on the left shoe first. Dovid Hochi Ovid, if one wants, he could put on the right shoe first. David Hachiavet, he could put on the left shoe first. And the way Tosfos explains that Rabbi Yosef held that Rabbi Yochanan certainly would have never argued against the Braisa. If Rabbi Yochanan says this, it must be that he also had a Braisa or a Mishnah that held like him, and therefore he says you could do either way. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. You could do either way. The Chiddush Eran explains it differently. Chiddush Eran says that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, what Rabbi Yosef was saying is that the Braisa and Rabbi Yochanan are not arguing. What the Braisa and Rabbi Yochanan are saying is that a person could do whatever he wants. But now Tosfos asks a great question. In the previous Gemara that we just learned, the Gemara said that we wanted to prove from the fact that what Rabbi Yochanan said, that I have to put on my, if I put on my right shoe first, I can't put on my left shoe, either like Rav Huna or Rav Chiya Bar Rav. Ask Tosfos, what's the proof? We just said, you could put on the left shoe sometimes first, you could put on the right shoe first. So how do we prove from it? So Tosfos says, even when Rabbi Yosef says, Dovid Hachi Ovid, Dovid Hachi Ovid, what we mean to say is, you could do either the right first or the left first. But whatever you do, you have to always do the same thing. You can't sometimes put on the right and sometimes the left. Rabbi Yochanan always put on the left first. The other man will always put on the right first. But you can't jump back and forth and not be consistent. Continues the Gemara. Amo Abayus, Abayus says to Rabbi Yosef, Dim Rabbi Yochanan Hamas Nisun Lavashmile, who says that Rabbi Yochanan held that the Braisa and what he holds are not in contradiction? Maybe he never heard of this braisa. Because Eav Shmilei, had he heard the braisa, have a hodabay, he would have retracted his psak. V'inam Shmilei, and even if he heard the braisa, and v'ksover, but he held Eilach Kaisa Mishnah, that the halacha is not like that braisa. So who tells you that this braisa and this braisa and Rabbi Yochanan ruling are not contradictory? Amar Nachum Yitzchak. So Rav Nachum Yitzchak says, Yerushimayim, somebody's a Yerushimayim, somebody has Yerushimayim, Yotzidei Shteihem, could accomplish both what Rabbi Yochanan says and what the Braisa says. Umanu, who was an example of such a person, Ma'brei D'Ravna, Heichi Havid, what did he do to accomplish both? Says the Gemara, Saim D'Mine, he put on his right shoe, V'leikata, but he didn't tie it. V'saim D'Smole, then he put on the left shoe, V'kata, and then he tied the left shoe. So in putting on the right shoe went first, and in tying the left shoe went first. The Hadda cut the Yemin, and then he tied the right shoe. So Tosfos explains that why in tying do we go with the left first? Because we use tefillin as a model, and in tefillin which is tied, we tie the left shoe first. We tie on the left hand first. So the Mefarshim explain, what is this based on? It's based on what Avram Avinu said to the Melech Sodom. When Avram Avinu had saved the Melech Sodom, and the Melech Sodom wanted to reward him, Avram Avinu told him, "Im michut v'atzroich nal, I won't take even a shoelace from you." So the Gemara said, because Avram Avinu said that, he was zoiche, he merited that his children should get the mitzvah tefillin. So that's why we connect shoelaces to tefillin. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains this concept very beautifully. He says, what was Avram Avinu saying when he refused to take even a shoelace from the Melech Sodom? What he was essentially saying was that I only rely on Hashem, I rely on no one else, which is the exact same lesson of the tefillin. The tefillin, which contained the parasha of Shema, where a Jew is declaring that we only rely on Hashem and no one else. That's why the tefillin and the shoelaces are connected. And it's very interesting to note, the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, and many other places of Shas use as an example of Avodah Zarah, Arkus of the Masani, that they used to even wear certain shoelaces. Arkus of the Masani, they used to wear shoelaces in Avodah Zarah. Question is, what makes shoelaces in Avodah Zarah? But according to the way we're learning today, it's very understandable. The shoelaces represent the concept of Avram Avinu, that he didn't want to take anything from anybody, he only relied on Hashem Yisbarach. Now the question is like this, if the reason that we wear shoelace, the reason we tie the left shoe first is because of tefillin, what's going to be the halacha if somebody, by tying other things? Now, let's say somebody's wearing a garment that the sleeves have to be tied. Is this only on shoes? Because we see, as we just explained, a connection between tefillin and shoes. Or is it by everything that has to be tied, that we always tie the left shoe, for the left side first? Shulchan Aruch Rav says we always tie the left shoe, the left side first, not only by shoes. However, other Paiskim disagree, and they say that it's limited to shoelaces because of the connection to tefillin. The same question would arise regarding a lefty who puts on his tefillin on the right side. If we say it's a specific din between shoes and tefillin, so he should tie his right shoe first. But if we say it's a general rule that we always tie the left side first, he should also possibly tie the left side first. The Shari Tshuva says that a lefty should tie his right shoe first. Other Paiskim say he could tie his left side first. The same question would come up regarding a woman. Women who don't wear tefillin. So if it's limited because of the mitzvah of tefillin, so women who don't wear tefillin don't have an inyan to tie the left side first. On the other hand, if it's just because we want to treat the left side in terms of tying first, so then that would apply even to women. Amar Rav Ashi, So says Rav Ashi, Chazin al Rav Kahana, I saw Rav Kahana, the Lekapid, he was not particular about which order he put on his shoes. The question comes up, specifically based on the previous Gemara that we learned, what's going to be halacha if somebody put on the wrong shoe first? Does he have the obligation to correct it or not? From the previous Gemara, it seems that there is an obligation to correct it, because to the degree that Rav Yochanan said to Rav Shimon bar Abba, I won't put on the left shoe anymore if I put on the right shoe first, and I hold you have to put the left shoe on first. And there are poskim that say that the taka, if somebody put on the left shoe first, he should be careful to remove it. And then put on the right shoe first, and then put on the left shoe. Other poskim say that if he already made the mistake, he does not have to correct it. Tan Rabbanan, Shunoil, when a person puts on his shoes, Noel Shimin, first he should put on his right shoe, Vakach Noel Shosmal, then he should put on his left shoe. Kushcholitz, however, when it comes to take off his shoes, Cholitz Shosmal, first he takes off the left shoe, Vakach Cholitz Shalmin, and then he takes off the right shoe. So Rashi explains, because that is all out of respect to the right side. We always treat the right side with more respect, and one of the ways we show it is by taking off the left shoe first. There's an interesting shaila in the poskim. If that's the pshat, what's going to be the halacha if somebody's taking off his shoes for dvar mitzvah? For example, if a kohen is removing his shoes to go duchen, or if somebody's taking off his shoes before Yom Kippur, there it may show respect to the right side to take off the right shoe first, because I'm showing it that I'm doing it for a mitzvah. So some poskim say, taka, that in such situation you should take off the right shoe first. Others say that even in such a situation you should take off the left shoe first, because there's no mitzvah to take off the shoe. The mitzvah is that when you duchen, don't wear shoes. The mitzvah is on Yom Kippur, don't wear shoes. But there is no specific chiyuv to remove shoes, and that's why it's not considered a mitzvah to remove the shoes. Continue to Gemara, Kushuroichitz, when somebody washes himself, Roichitz Shalimin, first he should wash the right hand, Vakach Roichitz Shasmal, then he should wash the left hand. Shusach, when somebody smears himself, Sach Shalimin, first he should smear the right hand, Vakach Shasmal, and then the left hand. However, says the Gemara, V'aroitz Elosuch Kol Gufay, if somebody is smearing his entire body, Sach Roichitz Chila, he should wash and smear his head first, because the head is the ruler. The head is the most important part of the body. The Mishnah continued, somebody is not allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing tefillin. Om Rav Safra, so Rav Safra explained, Loi Tema, do not say that our Mishnah is going to leave the man on Shabbos loves man tefillin, that on Shabbos we don't wear tefillin. Ella, I feel a man d'om is Shabbos man tefillin. Even according to the man d'om that says that on Shabbos we do wear tefillin, la yetze, still somebody should not go out while wearing tefillin. Dilma also la soilus rishos rabbim, because he may come to carry them in the rishos rabbim. So the way Rashi explains is because in those times the outhouses were in the rishos rabbim, and we're concerned that when he walks outside he may have to use the facilities, and he'll take off the tefillin, and by taking off the tefillin, and then he may come to carry it. Tosfos says that would only work for the tefillin shalrosh, which you're not allowed to go into the bathroom with. But the tefillin shalyad, according to Tosfos, since when one wears the tefillin shalyad, they're covered, he may go into the bathroom. So therefore, Tosfos says the concern is that the straps of the tefillin may snap, may tear, and then he'll come carry the tefillin, both the tefillin shayan and the tefillin shrosh. Vikar the Masnul Sefer. Some learn Rav Safra's statement regarding the end of the Mishnah. It said at the end of the Mishnah that all the things in the Mishnah that we say we're now out of wear, however, Miyotz, if he did wear them, ain't a chayv chattis. He's not oiv him the raisa. On Rav Safra, of that Rav Safra said, Loi Tema, Alivil Man to Om Shabbos Man Tefillin Hu. Don't say to our Mishnah that says that if you wear tefillin on Shabbos, you're only transgressing at Rabbanan, not the Araisa. Ella fila man da'am is Shabbos loves man tefillin. Even according to man da'am that says Shabbos is not as man for tefillin, ain't chayiv chattis. You're not chayiv for wearing a chattis when you wear them outside on Shabbos. My tama, what's the reason? Derech malbush avida. Since you wore the tefillin in a manner of clothing, so that cannot be considered carrying on Shabbos. And this, the Paiskim say, is the makar why you're allowed to wear tzitzis even at night, even according to the shittas that's Laila loves man tzitzis, that you don't have to wear tzitzis at night, and there is no mitzvah in wearing tzitzis. So how come when somebody wears tzitzis Friday night, it's not considered carrying? So the Paiskim can say, because since he's wearing it, derech malbush, and derech malbush is not considered carrying. There's a very interesting Shagas Aryeh. The Gemara in Masechta Ervin brings down two reasons, a machloikis, why the Man D'Omer, which is the way we paskin, Shabbos loves Man Tefillin. Rabbi Yosef Galili says it because it says in the Pasuk, V'shamart es achuka azois, we should guard this law, which is referring to Tefillin, L'may Adam Yom Yima. From miyamim yamima, so Rabbi Yosef Aglil says miyamim, some days you should wear tefillin, v'loy kol yamim, not all days, which means to say that only during the weekdays we wear tefillin, not on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva learns it from the pasuk of Ahoy l'chol ois, that the tefillin are called a sign, and he says like this: during the week we need to wear the tefillin as a sign. However, Shabbos, which in itself is a sign, therefore on Shabbos we don't need to wear tefillin, because we already have the sign of Shabbos. Now, says the Shagas Aryeh, that Rav Safra that said that even according to the Man D'Omer, that Shabbos loves man tefillin, you still, if you wear him on Shabbos, you didn't do anything wrong, that's only compatible according to Rav Akiva, but not according to Rav Yosef Galili. Because according to Rav Yosef Galili, it's not just that you don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos, like Rabbi Kiva says, because you already have an ois, you already have a sign through the Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yosef Galili, it's forbidden to wear tefillin on Shabbos. The pasuk says, "Miyamim yamima v'loy kol yamim." Don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. So if wearing tefillin on Shabbos is an iser, so certainly Rabbi Yosef Galili cannot let you wear the tefillin and not be and say it's a derech malbush. Only according to Akiva, who says you don't have to wear the tefillin on Shabbos, if you wear him, says Rav Safra, you won't be over an issim, at least midiraisa. The Mishnah continued: V'loy b'kameya b'zman she'en m'mumcha. A person can't go out on Shabbos wearing kameya that's not from an expert. So now the Gemara begins to explain what is a kameya mumcha and what is a kameya she'en mumcha. Omrav's papa, loy tema ad mumcha gavra mumcha kameya. Don't say that somebody can't wear a kameya unless both the man who wrote the kameya and the kameya itself have been proven effective. Elo, kiven the mumcha gavra, as soon as the person who wrote the kameya is a proven expert, afagav the loy mumcha kameya, even if the kameya itself has not been proven effective, it can be worn. So Rashi explains the Gemara about effectiveness in two ways. If a person healed three different people from the same disease with the same type of kameya, the person is a proven expert. Why? That's the first Pshat of Rashi, because he cured three people. Rashi gives another pshat. There's a person who wrote three kameyas for three different diseases, and each one of these kameyas cured three different people. So we have a total of nine cures in all. This person is a proven expert with regard to curing any disease with a kameya. In the first case, he's only an expert in curing this disease. In the second case, he's a person who's an expert in curing all diseases. So now the Gemara is saying that even the person is an expert, even though the kameya is not, it's enough. And Tosfos points out that of course if the kameya is proven, even if the writer of the kameya is not proven, certainly the Mishnah will hold that you could wear such a kameya. The chiddush of Rapapa is that even if the writer is an expert, that's enough. And says the Gemara, Deikonami, I'll prove you what Rapapa said is correct from the way the Mishnah says it. The Ketani, the Mishnah says, V'loi b'kameya b'zman she'enem mumcha. You can't use a kameya when it's not from an expert. V'loi Ketani, the Mishnah doesn't say b'zman she'enem mumcha. The Mishnah isn't talking about the kameya, it's talking min, it's talking about the writer. And the Mishnah Shmamina, from here we see that as long as an expert wrote it, that is enough to prove that the Kameya is effective. Tan Rabban. So the Braisa taught teaches us. Eiza Kameya Mumcha. What is a Kameya Mumcha? Kol Sharipa Vishana Vishilish. Any Kameya that worked one time, two times, and three times. Continues the Braisa, Echa Kameya Shuksav. Whether it's Kameya, they had two types of Kameya, as we will learn. One was writing, they wrote words on a cloth. Vak Kameya Shul Ikrim. That they put herbs in a bag. Echad chal shesh pesakana. The kamei could be worn. A person who's a chal shesh pesakana is dangerously ill. Vechad chal shesh pesakana. Or a person who's not dangerously ill. Continues the braisa. Loish nikfa. It's not, nikfa usually means an epileptic. It's not necessarily a person who already had a seizure. Elish lo yikfa. And you're allowed to wear a kamei to avoid a seizure. The kosher mata fil b'shus rabim. He can tie it and untie it even when he's in the Rishus Rabbim, and we're not concerned that he's going to carry it. But he may not tie it b'shir tabas to a bracelet or a ring v'yetz by Rishus Rabbim, and like that he'll walk out to Rishus Rabbim m'shamar sayim, because it appears that he's not wearing the kameya because he's sick. He's wearing the kameya because of it's a tachshit. And as we learned in this parak many times, the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to wear a tachshin in Shabbos. The reason is Dilma Shalfa Machya, you may take it off and show it off. Ask the Gemara. We just learned that a kameya is considered effective if it works three times. Vatanya, ask the Gemara, we learned in a braisa, Ezer kameya mumcha. Which is considered an effective kameya, as long as if it works for three men. So we seem to have a kasha. Our braisa says, the braisa we just learned says that it has to work for three different people. The braisa that we learned on Amud Aleph says that even if it worked for the same person, it just worked three times, it'll be enough. Answers the Gemara like kasha. Ha, the second braisa that requires that it should work for three different people is talking l'mchuyi gavra. Here we're talking to identify that the man who wrote the kameya is an expert. This is only accomplished if he wrote three different kameyas for three different people. In order for somebody who writes kameyas to be proven an expert at writing kameyas, he must write three different kameyas, that's the way Rashi explained, and use them for three different diseases. Once he has accomplished this, we know that he's an expert writer, and anything that he writes will be effective. Ha, but the braisa that we learned on Amud Aleph, which only required that the kameya works three times, even on the same person, that's l'mchuyi kameya. That's where we want to say that this kameya is effective. And if a kameya cures even one person three times from the same disease, that kameya has been proven effective. And if this person who writes such a kameya writes an identical kameya again, it could be worn outside on Shabbos. Amra Papa. So Papa begins. Pshitali, it's obvious to me. Tlosa kameya l'tlosa gavri. That if somebody wrote three different types of kameyas for three different people, tlosa zimin. And each one of these kameyas worked three times. So a total of nine cures were accomplished by the three kameyas. Each one curing one of three different diseases three times, which can happen of one of two ways. either each of the three people suffered from three different diseases, so they each kameya hailed three different people, or each of the three people suffered from a different disease, and each kameya cured one person three times for one disease. But we have a total of nine. So the person who wrote this is a proven expert at writing all types of kameyas. And any of kameya that he will write will work. And therefore, it says Rav Papa, such a situation is a samch gavra. The man is proven expert, the samch kameya and the kameyas are proven to expert. Now the Rishonim ask, if we're dealing with a situation that the person who writes the kameyas has been established an expert by writing these three kameyas to cure three people, even one time each, like we learned before, how can we then say that the kameya has been proven? Maybe the powerful thing here is not the kameya, perhaps the powerful thing here is the writer. And some Rishonim Taka say that a kameya can only be proven totally effective if the effectiveness, the cure of the third person, is only if precedes or is concurrent with the proof that the healer is expert. Others say that even if the healer has been proven expert, the fact that the kameya cured three different people gives it the status of an effective kameya in its own right, and we don't say that it's dependent on the status of the writer. Continues Rav Papa, Tlosa kameya, the Tlosa Gavri. It's also obvious that if somebody wrote three different kameyas for three different people, chad chad zimna, and each one of these kameyas cured one time, gavri samche, the man is an expert, but kameya is samche. But we don't have any proof regarding the kameya. Chad kameya, l'tlasa gavri, that if somebody wrote one kameya for three people suffering from the same disease, and they were all cured, kameya is samcha, the kameya is effective, gavra lo yisachcha, but the man who wrote them is not a proven expert. Now asks Rav Papa, boy Rav Papa, tolosa kameya l'chad gavra, what's going to be the halacha of three different kameyas were written for a single person who had three different diseases, and he was cured from all three diseases? Mai. What do we say? Kameya v'adaloy samcha. We certainly don't have any proof on the kameyas because each kameya only worked once. The question is, gavri samcha loy samcha. Do we have a proof that the writer of the kameyas is an expert or not? Mi aminin, on one side we say, hasalei. They worked. Aydilma, perhaps what happened here was, mazla dahai gavra hu dekamakabel kasva. It could be it's the mazel of this person, of this sick person, that he is very prone that kameyas worked for him. But it doesn't mean that the writer's kameyas will work for anyone else. And the Gemara says, teiku, it's the question we don't know the answer. Ibailuhu. So now the Gemara asks another question. Kameya yesh b'mashem kedusha? Is there a kedusha in kameya? Oidem ein b'mashem kedusha? Is there no kedusha in kameya? Ask the Gemara, l'may halchasa. What is the halach l'maysa question that I need to know answered with this question? Ilayim l'tzalunim b'bnei d'leika. If you want to say that the question is that if there was a fire chas v'sham on Shabbos, are you allowed to take the kameya out from the house? Toshma. That is a brayso that we're going to learn later in the Masechta that says explicitly, Habrachis. They used to have such pieces of paper or tablets on which they had all the brachos written. Or kameyim, abishen oisius, even though they have letters of Hashem's name. Umayone habish Torah, and a lot of different sections of the Torah, says the brayso, eim matzilon asom b'nai leika. We're not allowed to save them from a bonfire, v'nisrofim kaimim, we leave them to burn in the place. So we see clearly that kameyas may not be saved. Ella, the question is, l'inyan geniza. The question is, do we have to bury worn out kameyas? says the Gemara, that also we can answer. Tashma, because we learned in a Braisa. If the name of Hashem was written on the handles of kelim, handles of utensils, vakari meita, on legs of bed, yogid v'yignesene, he has to cut off the section of the bed of where the Shem Hashem is and hide it away. From here we see that anywhere where you have a Shem Hashem, you have to treat it with the utmost respect. And it's important to note briefly, as we speak here about the Shem Hashem and the great respect that we have to have for the Shem Hashem, that Ramosha writes in a tshuva that he's opposed to yeshivas or moizdis that send out in the mail different types of calendars or benchers, mirrors that have the Shem Hashem in them, because since we just learned in our Gemara, there's a great chiv to treat all things with Dvar Kedusha with respect. People who get things in the mail may throw it in the garbage without even opening it, which would lead to a tremendous chil Shem Hashem, and he therefore says she shouldn't send out such things. Ramosha in fact writes that he was careful that when he married off his children, that on the invitations he did not write psukim. Many times on the invitation there are psukim or yishama b'yar Yehuda kol sasim kol simcha. It's a posik, and people generally throw out invitations. So he was careful not to write psukim on invitations. The question, of course, is most relevant regarding newspapers that have the Shem Hashem or Divrei Torah regarding bringing them into bathroom or throwing them out. An English newspaper, a secular newspaper, even if it has the word God in it, most poskim are makel, because even if it contains that Shem Hashem, it's not written with any real lishma, any real intent for Hashem who we believe in, and they could be treated not respectfully. But Hebrew newspapers have two issues. Number one, the fact that they're written in Hebrew gives them a kedusha. And moreover, especially if they're written when the Shem Hashem or Divrei Torah are written in some of these papers, so they certainly have a level of kedusha and probably should not be brought into a bathroom. And furthermore, when throwing out, should be treated with respect. Continues the Gemara. So what is the question that we're talking about when we talk about the Kameim Yesh Ben Kedusha? Says the Gemara, El Likonis Ben Besakisei. The question is, could somebody enter a bathroom when wearing a kameya? Mai, what is the halacha? Yesh ben kedusha. Do we say that they have a kedusha v'osur, and it's osur to walk into a bathroom while wearing them? A dilma ein ben kedusha. Maybe we don't say they have a kedusha v'shari, and you can wear them going into a bathroom. Toshma. So Gemara wants to bring a proof from our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, v'loy b'kameya b'zman she'enem v'mumcha. You're not allowed to wear a kameya when it's not from an expert. What's the deek, like we learned before, ha-mina mumcha, if it was written by an expert, nafik, he may go outside wearing it. And says the Gemara, v'amrit kamei m'yesh ben mishum kedusha, if you're going to say that kamei have kedusha, zimna the mitzvah l'beis ha-kisei. Sometimes a person's going to have to go to the bathroom, and he won't be able to carry the kamei into the bathroom. V'osla sinah ba'amis b'shus rabim, and he'll come carry it for amis b'shus rabim. From the fact that our Mishnah isn't concerned with this possibility, it seems that you can wear a kameya into the bathroom. And says the Gemara, there's no proof. Hachamai skinan, what are we talking about? The kameya shel ikrin. We're talking about a kameya that was made out of roots, that one certainly has no kedusha. So we have no proof from our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, but we learned in the Brais Vatanya, Echa Kamei Shal Ksav, Vecha Kamei Shal Ikrim, that the Aloch is both by Kamei that's written with the Shemus Hashem, and one that has herbs, Aloch Amai Skinon. You know what we're talking about? B'chay L'sheish B'sakana. We're dealing with a person who's dangerously ill. He can wear his Kamei at all times. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, Echa T'chay L'sheish B'sakana, Vecha T'chay L'sheim B'sakana, that a person that we're dealing both with a chayla that is dangerously ill and a chayla that's not dangerously ill, Ella says the Gemara, kivin demasi, since the kameya cures him, Even if he holds it in his hand, shapidami, it's permitted. It's not considered carrying. So that's why he could wear the kameya, even if it has kedusha on it, even outside, because carrying it is considered part of his malbush. And that's why we're not concerned, that even if it has in a kedusha, that the person's going to carry it in the street, because even if he carried it in the street, he would not be chayiv midaraisa. V'tanya, ask the Gemara, we learned in a brayso Rabbi Shlomo b'vlat shlo yichsena b'yodai, somebody is not allowed to carry a kameya, even if it came from an expert. V'yavirena aba amz b'shutz rabim, and carry it dal amz b'shutz rabim. This brayso says that you're not allowed to carry a kameya, even though it cures the sick person. So we could prove from our Mishnah that does allow you to carry a kameya and a mumcha that it doesn't have a kedusha in it. Says the Gemara, I'll offer my skin of a mechupa ba'ar, that the kameya was covered by leather, so that's why you don't have to take it off when you go to the bathroom, because it has a covering around it. But carrying it would taka be awesome. So the Mefarshim ask, the Ber Yitzchak asks, if we're dealing here, even with a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana, that we know that for Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana, we're allowed to do anything on Shabbos to, for your cure. So why is this person who has a Kameya, and he's a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana, not allowed to walk out carrying it? He's a Chayla Sheyesh by Sakana. So the Ber Yitzchak gives two answers. One answer is very obvious. He says that who says he has to go out? He's a chayil shesh besakana. Hitaka has to carry the kameya all the time. So let him carry the kameya in his house. Don't walk out. Nobody told you have to walk out. But then the Ber Yitzchak says another teretz. He says, this that we always say, that for chayil shesh besakana, we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, that is only by refuah tivis, by a natural refuah, medicine, operation, etc. However, a refuah skulis, kameyas, or things like that, there is no heter to be mechal Shabbos. And in fact, the Bika Yosef says that they used to have a skula that if a person drank poison, they would write on a piece of paper some words and dissolve that in water and give it to the person who drank the poison, and he would automatically vomit and be fine. And the question is, on Shabbos, are you allowed to do that? The Bika Yosef says, of course not, because only a refuah tivis, a natural cure, can be done in Shabbos, not a refuah skulis. In fact, there's a shaila in the Marsham where somebody got sick, and the question was a telegram allowed to be written to a tzaddik to be mispalel for this sick person? And the Masham quotes Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was very upset when such a story once happened, where somebody wrote a telegram to the Belzer Rebbe on Shabbos when there was a sick person, because he said, again, it's not a refuah tivis, it's a refuah skulis, and certainly such a telegram, certainly if it's written by a Jew, should not be sent on Shabbos. The interesting thing that I heard was that the story goes that the Belzer Rebbe, when he got this telegram that was written by a Jew on Shabbos, said, now I have to be mispalel and make sure that this sick person will get healthy, otherwise retroactively it'll turn out that the person who wrote it was mechal Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying now that the fact that something is covered by leather allows you to go into the bathroom with it, very tefillin, the mechupim bar, tefillin are covered with leather boxes, but Tanya, and we learned in a brisa, hanichlas lebeisakise, somebody goes into the bathroom, chayos tefillin barachak arba amos, he has to take off the tefillin arba amos, 4 amos away, v'nichlas, and only then can he go into the bathroom. Answers the Gemara, hasam shum shin, the reason you can't do it is because on the tefillin shiroish, there's a shin. Damar Abayin, as Abayin said, shin shel tefillin, even the shin that's on the tefillin is a halach l'moshe m'sinai. So that's why you can't wear the box. The box is not, it has its own kedusha. It's not just a covering. Continues the Gemara. Damar Abayin, dalet shel tefillin, the dalin that's formed by the straps and tefillin worn on the back of the tefillin shorosh is aloch lemosh mesinai. Varma by yod shel tefillin, the yod that's formed by the straps on the tefillin shoyad, aloch lemosh mesinai. Tosfos takes out the part of the tefillin shoyad, because like we said at the beginning of this year, Tosfos holds that you are allowed to go into the bathroom wearing the tefillin shoyad. It's interesting that the Mefarshim say that the order of the Aloch L'Moshe Mesinai is first the shin on the tefillin shel rosh, then the dalid on the back of the tefillin shel rosh, and then the yad on the tefillin shel yad, which makes up the Shem Hashem Shakai Shun Dalid Yud. And therefore, when a person is writing tefillin or making tefillin, he should make it in that order, in the order the way the Shem Hashem is spelled, Shin Dalid Yud. Again, from here, as we spoke about earlier, we see that Shin Dalad Yud is a Shem Hashem, and therefore the Paiskim say, Ramosha talks about this, other Paiskim say that people wear necklaces or rings that have this name on it, it's highly inappropriate, because as we learned in today's shir, we have to treat the Shem Hashem with great respect. The Mishnah said, V'loi b'siryoin, a person's not allowed to wear Syrian kazdim amagafayim, which we explained were all different types of armor. Explains the Gemara, Sirion is Zarda, is like the armor, it's the coat. Kazda is a helmet. Amar Rav Svarta, it's the leather helmet which is worn under an armor helmet. Megafayim are shin guards. Amar Rav Pazmuki, it also refers to the leggings of iron worn during times of war. There is an interesting Aruch HaShulchan that says if a person's uniform is to wear this all the time, then he may wear this armor even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. But most Paiskim disagree with Aruch HaShulchan. They say Amishna says you're not allowed to wear it under any circumstances.